Hi and welcome to Social Work Sorted, the podcast. I'm Vicky Shevlin, I'm your host and I founded Social Work Sorted, an online platform for newly qualified social workers. I'm an experienced children's social worker, previous child protection conference chair, and I started Social Work Sorted so that newly qualified social workers could connect theory to practice. My mission is to help you bring confidence and calm to your first year as a social worker. Because I know that when that happens, you are able to positively influence so many of the people around you, including the children and families that you work with. This podcast is all about practical guidance, realistic advice, and amazing insights from the wonderful guests that I have join me. So whether it's a bite-sized episode, something to reflect on, or an entire conversation for you to soak up, you are so welcome. If you want to know more about the ways I can help you as a student or newly qualified social worker, or even a workforce development lead, then make sure you go and have a look in the show notes, and I'll also be reminding you at the end of this episode. Before we get into it, just a reminder, if you find this episode or any of the other episodes helpful, please take 2 minutes to leave a rating, a review, get in touch with me, and share it with somebody else. I'm so grateful that this podcast is part of your social work journey. Okay, first things first, I have a proper intro with music and everything. If you're a regular listener, I really need your feedback on it. Is the music too loud? Is it annoying? Should I change anything that I say? It took me a long time to do that, I'm not going to lie, but I want to make sure that it's right. Nearly 2 years into a podcast that has never had a proper consistent intro before, so let me know what you think. Anyway, this week I really want to talk to you specifically about that feeling of overwhelm. And the reason I'm talking about this is this week I had a massive clear out. So I have had all my social work documents, like obviously not from my actual practice, but from studying, when I've printed out journals, I've printed out resources, I've got loads of stuff from training. I had it all in a big box in folders, really nicely organized, but there were lots of things that I wasn't using, I wasn't accessing a lot. Some of the journals I would save online to read now. And so I had a massive clear out. And in the clear out, I found a card from my amazing student, one of my amazing students, who I was a practice educator for probably about 5 years ago now. And it just really took me back to supporting her through her placement, all the other things that she had to juggle at the same time as being in a really busy children's team. The commute for her specifically was massive, to and from home into work. It was pre-COVID, so working from home, it just wasn't a thing. And her flexibility, the kind of pressure that she had, she was doing so many different assignments, and I know so many of you have that now. And yeah, it really brought me back, and I thought, I'm not your practice educator, but I am here as a support, as a mentor. I think I'm using that word a little bit more now after my conversation with Lisa Rann, which you should go back and listen to, but I guess that is how I describe what I would do. And I've always been quite reluctant to use that word because it means different things to different people. But ultimately, I want to help you through your placement, through your newly qualified year. I want to help you feel confident and calm. And so if you're feeling overwhelmed, like my amazing student was all those years ago, this is the pep talk that I gave her at the time. And the sort of disclaimer is that a lot of these things might be obvious, but I am definitely a fan of those podcast episodes where somebody just tells me the things that I know I need to hear, that I'm kind of telling myself, but I'm not going to do them unless I hear somebody say them. So if you find those helpful, then this is for you. The first thing that I want you to do, specifically if you're having one of them weeks where everything feels too much, is make an everything list. Oh, a list, absolute revelation, I know. But what I mean by an everything list is sometimes when we're in work mode, we are making lists about all the things that we've got to do, whether it is your tasks on placement, in your kind of first year of social work, the things that you need to do for specific children and families. You might have things for your portfolio, but you also have a life outside of social work. And so when you make this specific list, I want it to be an everything list. I want you to put down everything that you have on your mind that you have to do, because we do have a life outside social work. And if you have got to, I don't know, pay a bill or change something on your car insurance or whatever it is in your life outside of social work, that's going to affect and impact the feeling of overwhelm. So there's no point having that somewhere separate. If that is something that needs to be done tomorrow, then it's going to impact the work that you do, that assessment that you have to write up tomorrow, because in the back of your mind, you're thinking, I need to change the details for the car insurance. That's just my specific example. So make an everything list, everything, brain dump it. I don't know if some people don't like that phrase, but put it all down on one piece of paper, your personal stuff and your work stuff as well, because it's all going to feed into that feeling of overwhelm. Once you have that list down, you'll probably feel a sense of relief, even if there's like 100 things on there, because at least they're written down and not in your head anymore. And maybe then you'll be able to group them. You can either choose things that are just at the top of your mind. They might not be priorities in terms of time, but they might be the thing that has just been niggling you for so long. Like, I don't know, my smear test was one of those things. It was just in the back of my mind. I knew that I needed to book it, but I just didn't do it. And it wasn't necessarily my top priority in terms of time, in terms of a time scale that I had to meet, but it was there. And because it was something that felt kind of small to me, I was just putting it off. And once I had it done, it was out of my mind. So group them into things that are priorities for you, not just priorities, you know, deadlines in terms of work. What are the things that are on your mind? Then I want you to go through the work things and put them into priorities. I can't even talk. In terms of the time. So what do you have due and when? And even though this specific thing can feel really overwhelming, if you've got 10 assessments all due in next week, just put down when they are due, even if they're one day after another, and you start to realise where you can allocate your time. The creation of the list is not going to just pull time out of thin air. I know that. But what I'm trying to get you to do is to start categorising things instead of going into panic or freeze, because it's just all in your head and you haven't got it in a visual place where you can organise it all. The second thing that I want you to do is look at your annual leave, your time owed, the time that you have spent, if you're a student, working on your reflective log, the things that you have agreed. So if you've agreed that you're going to have a half day a week and that's just gone out the window, I want you to come back to that. What is your agreed time allotted to reflections, portfolios, learning logs, training? Go back and look at that. And if you're already in practice, go and look at your time owed and start to think about where you can take that. So first of all, detail what it is. You know, if you have supposed to be doing half a day a week on your student portfolio and you haven't been doing that, how many half days have you missed and why did you miss them? And start writing it down. Because what we're going to do at the end of all this is put it to our manager, our practice educator, our supervisor, and we want to have everything really clear. You know, I was supposed to have my half day last Thursday, but a Section 47 came in and it was really valuable for me to go and shadow, but I haven't had that half a day. But we're going to have it all written down, so it's all really simple for us to see, but also for the person who is supporting us to see as well. If you are allotted some time off, if you have some annual leave, if you have some time owed, look at what you have and then look at when you can take it. And I know how annoying it is when we have more time owed to us that we can physically take, and we have that thought of, you know, if I take a day off, it's just going to add more work for me, I might as well not do it. That isn't the way that I want you to think. The work is going to be there regardless. If you take a day off, you'll have loads more to do. If you don't take a day off, your caseload isn't going to dramatically reduce. You're not going to have a whole load of work that's just going to disappear. So you might as well take that time off. And if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you have 100 things on those lists, and if all those things are some of your, you know, personal life things, like booking the smear test, like the car insurance, maybe you just want to like get all your washing done. I don't know what it is, but if all those things could be done in half a day and it could take that pressure off your mind, it's going to make you more efficient. So start to think about when you can take that time and write down how much time you have owed to you. Again, all these things might seem really obvious, but when we are caught up, when we go into panic mode or when we go into freeze, they are the first things that we leave behind us. And sometimes we just need that time to reset and we need to block it out of our calendar. We need to say to our manager, this is what I'm owed. This is when I can take it. And the final thing to do when you have your list, when you have your detail of your time that you are owed or the hours that you have missed, you are going to take it to your supervisor and to your manager, and you are going to ask for help if you need help. This is probably the hardest thing to do. I definitely find it very hard to ask for help when I'm feeling overwhelmed, because I sometimes think that it means that I've failed, which I know is not true. Sometimes I think it means that I'm not able to cope and I'm not as resilient as I thought, which is not true. I also know that sometimes I then get so caught up in the fact that I've made a list and that I have all this allocated time that I need to use, I start to go backwards and minimize it and say, oh, do you know what? It's not that bad. I'll manage it. I'll be okay. But if you don't tell your supervisor, your manager, that you are struggling, if you don't present that in a certain way, they won't know. And it's a different story if you tell them and they then give you a really insensitive response. But quite often I talk to students and new social workers who have just been too afraid to have that initial conversation, who have been too fearful or maybe not had the words or the capacity to take that information to the person who's there to support you and say, this is what I need, this is why I need it, and this is my plan for how I'm going to take that time or how I'm going to make sure that I get all my assessments in. So really try and think about that. This is the final step, but it's often the most difficult thing to do. It's really important to remember that you need to advocate for yourself the same way that you advocate, and I know you advocate, for the children and families that you work with. Because if you're not able to manage, if you're not coping, if you're feeling overwhelmed, it's going to be impacting you in other ways. It might be impacting the way that you eat. It might be impacting the way that you are sleeping. It impacts the time that you have outside of work with your family, with your friends. It means that it's eating into your evenings and weekends when you are supposed to be resting and trying to switch off. So feeling overwhelmed, start with the everything list. Then go through all the time that you are owed, the time that you were supposed to take but you haven't. And thirdly, take all of that to your manager and to your supervisor. I know how difficult that is to do, and that is why I have just added to my membership, the collective, some supervision scripts that you can use. So there are email templates that you can use, send, obviously adapt them, but send to your supervisor or your manager if you are asking for supervision, so you can talk through your caseload, so you can look at your time off. There are templates that you can use if you want to communicate to the person supervising you the time that you are owed and how that's going to be beneficial to you to actually take that back. And there is also a video resource to support you in your supervision contract. So when you are having your initial supervision, or if you're having a review and you want to look over your supervision contract, because all of this falls into supervision, then the video resource is going to be really helpful to ground you, to look at the things that you need to consider that maybe you haven't thought about yet, and to really support you in advocating for yourself and what you need. That is available for members now in the Learning Hub. You just want to go to our supervision section. You can download the templates and you can watch through the video resource. And for you, if you came to this podcast because you're feeling overwhelmed, know that there are small actionable steps that you can take. This isn't all on you. If you're feeling overwhelmed, it's not your fault. You are working within oppressive political structures and systems, and it takes a long time for those types of things to shift and change. But you can be a part of that change when you are well resourced, when you are not in a freeze or panic mode. And hopefully the steps in this podcast will help you to come out of that. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Like I said at the start, if you enjoyed it, if you took something from it, please take a couple of seconds to leave a rating or a review. I always love it when I hear back from you about the impact of the podcast, so feel free to email me as well. Anything specific mentioned in this podcast episode will be in the show note. And here are some reminders of how we can stay in touch, along with the ways that I can help you become a calm and confident social worker. Firstly, I have a free newsletter, The Space. This is a weekly email sent out to students and newly qualified social workers with curated links and recommended reading and listening that I know you will find useful in your newly qualified year. Secondly, I have an amazing membership, The Collective. This is an online membership for students and newly qualified social workers. When you join, you get access to a learning hub full of bite-sized video resources and downloadable e-guides. These are all specifically focused on the tasks, the policy, the legislation, the theory and the practice skills that you need in your first year as a social worker. We have a private Facebook group where you can access a weekly Q&A thread for any questions, queries or reflections that you have. Members are also invited to a monthly live Zoom call with me where we have a Q&A but also take time for mindfulness, reflection and meditation. The collective is for students and newly qualified social workers who want solution-focused, practical support, advice and mentoring from me. If you align with any of the values of Social Work Sorted, if you are looking for realistic, practical advice, if you are a strengths-based and solution-focused person, if you often feel overwhelmed and crave resources that are bite-sized, digestible, easy to access, available for you to watch again and again, rooted in the practical skills but also underpinned by theory, then the collective is for you. Head to the show notes where you'll find the link to join. Thirdly, I have ebook guides and video courses available for students and new social workers who are looking for support and clarity in specific area. The Child and Family Assessment Guide, the Home Visit Guide, Risk in Child Protection Masterclass and a Home Visit Masterclass as well. Again, all the details are in the show note. As well as all this, I'm available to come and deliver training in person to your student or ASYE cohort, whether it's a skills day, part of an ASYE induction, a keynote speech or a guest lecture. Please don't hesitate to get in touch with me for an informal chat to find out more. Thank you so much for listening. Like I do at the end of every single podcast, I want to encourage you to slow down and take a pause with me before you go on to the rest of your day. Close your eyes if it feels comfortable, or just soften your gaze. Take a couple of deep breaths and enjoy this moment of calm. Know that you can come back to this at any time you need to. Remember, you are doing an incredible job. Take care, and I'll see you for the next episode.